Welcome to the May 10th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our virtual service today is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, assisted by worship associate Ellen Plummer. Towards the end of the service, Rev Pam broke us into breakout groups of three or four for about 7 minutes, during which we could unmute ourselves and share. Because we could not monitor the 20-plus groups in this podcast, there is a gap of about 15 seconds, starting again when we come back together.
Good morning. I'm Ellen Plummer, our worship associate today, and it's my privilege, always, to support Rev. Pam Phillips for today's service. In 1872, Unitarian Julia Ward Howe began advocating for the creation of a Mother's Day for Peace. She advocated that this Mother's Day for Peace be held every single year. Needless to say, the characterization of this day has changed since then. However, I invite us together to remember its original intent. Mother's Day for Peace. Emphasis on the peace part. If you are with us for the first time, we are glad that you have found us. You'll find a link in our chat to the virtual visitors card. Please fill that out so that we might be able to keep in touch with you. A reminder that if you have a joy or a sorrow that you would like Rev. Pam to share aloud this morning, you'll find a link for that in our chat as well. While physical distancing has required that we not meet in person, our community continues to meet virtually via Zoom and other methods. Look to the announcements in our email for more information. I'd like to lift up a couple of announcements this morning. A reminder that we have a midweek gathering on Wednesdays at 5:30. We really hope that you'll join us for a brief interlude in our normal, not normal weeks. If you have found a spiritual home here and would like to become a member of our congregation, please contact Rev. Pam so that you can learn how to sign our membership book virtually. Next Sunday, our youth will be leading us in worship as we celebrate the high school seniors who are bridging into adulthood. How is that possible? But yes, they are bridging into adulthood, and the eighth graders are moving up to YRUU, our youth group. You can contribute to this service by sending us a photo of your senior year in high school. So everybody dig around, take a few minutes, find the archive of that fantastic picture of you in your high school year, your high school yearbook. They don't even do those anymore. And see the order of service for how you can send us your photo to help with next week's service. At the end of the month, we'll be celebrating our annual flower communion, which will take a little more preparation than usual this year. We'd like to create a beautiful, beautiful, enormous bouquet of flowers and faces. So please take a photo of you and your family with flowers, and email this photograph to Rev. Pam. At this point, I'd like to ask that Rachel Crane, our Lifespan Faith Development Assistant, that she tell us what the children are learning from the email packets that she has sent home to folks' parents.
Good morning and welcome to RE at Home. This week, our preschoolers will be learning about Mother's and Father's Days and reading the I Love You book and making some flower crafts. Our K-1 class will be reading about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and also making some flower crafts. So our second and third grade class is going to continue their unit exploring the web of life. And normally they would have a visitor from the congregation today, and that's not really possible. So they're just going to explore the web of life with their parents. I have some activities and videos for them to watch. The fourth and fifth grade class will be learning about Unitarian Julia Ward Howe and Mother's Peace Day. And our middle school will be finishing their study of Unitarian Universalism. Just a reminder to check out Storytime Wednesdays at 10 a.m. and Fridays at 3 p.m. And last week I asked you guys to send me in pictures, drawings, photos of your open minds, remembering that Unitarian Universalists are the church of the open mind, the helping hand, and the loving heart. And here's what I got for this week. Noemi sent in this picture of her exploring nature at the UUC. We have such a lovely grounds to walk and to imagine and explore and keep an open mind. Eliza spent some time building and imagining with her blocks. And Hazel was busy exploring the universe. So lots of open minds. So this week's challenge is loving hearts. So send me your pictures of things that you love or of you doing loving things. Also, if you haven't sent me pictures of your helping hands or your open minds yet, feel free to send those in as well. Thanks.
Our opening words today are called Acknowledgement of Limitations by Calvin O'Dame. We come into one another's presence seeking some part of ourselves, knowing that we do not live alone, knowing that we cannot live fully if we are for ourselves alone. We come as ordinary people, each with strengths and each with weaknesses, aware of our shortcomings. Our lives set before us many tasks, and we are not always equal to them. Too often, we fall short of our best expectations of ourselves. We don't know enough. We're not always patient. We fall into anger. We cannot find strength. We do not wait for wisdom. We lack vision. It hurts. It hurts to acknowledge our shortcomings. And yet, here we are, not always perfect, not always wise, but always human. Gloriously and miraculously alive and breathing, wondrously and mysteriously human. May our time together renew our hope. May the stories we share refresh our courage. May the songs we sing lift our spirits. May the words we speak invigorate us. May the time together, the sound of laughter, the sight of faces new and familiar, restore us in faith. Giving is a reminder of our interconnected web of life, a call to make the world a little closer to heaven on earth, and a symbol of our commitment to our courageous love. Each week, our congregation donates half of the offering to a local charity or Unitarian Universalist affiliated organization. This week, we invite all who are able to donate to the New River Valley Diaper Pantry, which provides free diapers for all that need them, infants, the elderly, and the disabled. You can contribute your offering online through the Give Plus app on your phone or by texting the word fund to 844-909-2617. If you have never used these methods, look at your order of service and the announcements for more information. And if you'd rather, you can also make your contributions after the service.
I invite you all to settle in to the mood of meditation. Take a deep breath to soften your shoulders or whatever else feels tense. Settle into your seat. Do whatever it is that you need to do to be fully present to the words of Reverend Dr. Victoria Weinstein. Her prayer is entitled, "For All Who Mother." We reflect in thanksgiving this day for all those whose lives have nurtured ours, the life-giving ones who heal with their presence, who listen in sympathy, who give wise advice, but only when asked for it. We are grateful for all those who have mothered us, who have held us gently in times of sorrow, who celebrated with us our triumphs, no matter how small, who noticed when we changed and grew, who praised us for taking risks, who took genuine pride in our success, and who expressed genuine compassion when we did not succeed. On this day that honors mothers, let us honor all nurturers, generous souls who from somewhere in their being have freely and wholeheartedly given life and sustenance and vision to us. Dear God, creating one, grant us life-giving ways, strength for birthing, and a nurturing spirit, that we may take attentive care of those precious beings entrusted to us by biology, or by destiny, or by friendship, fellowship, or fate. Give us all a mothering heart today. Amen, and blessed be. Voice still and small. That voice that we sometimes don't hear with all the chatter and busyness of our lives. The voice that helps us know what is deeply true for us. What might that voice be saying to us about being people of thresholds? Our theme for this month. Now, last week, we talked about living in the liminal, lingering on the threshold between the past and the future before moving on. And so much of what I've been reading about thresholds has to do with the moving through space. It makes sense, as this is a time of year with lots of people passing through thresholds. Next week, the youth will lead our worship and we'll honor those who are moving from high school into young adulthood, crossing a major threshold. But thresholds aren't just something to pass over, are they? Sometimes thresholds are a kind of boundary we stay behind. The whole reason we're following the stay-at-home orders is to keep ourselves safe, to protect ourselves and each other from the coronavirus. The same with social distancing, staying at least 6 feet apart from one another. We're being encouraged to keep an imaginary boundary around ourselves. Ellen told me about someone who's trying to design a 12-foot hula hoop to wear around to keep people at a safe distance. And now we're supposed to wear face masks, another kind of boundary. So that's what we'll be considering today. But back to that voice still and small from our hymn. Have any of you found that voice easier to hear in the past few weeks? As the worship team discussed the theme of thresholds, it seemed that many of us have been hearing a voice still and small. And it has been saying, enough. We talked about how this time of quarantine has made us particularly aware of our personal thresholds, our limits, and how some of those limits have changed. Things that we didn't notice before or just put up with all of a sudden become glaringly obvious. I love the way someone put it. Up with this, I will not put. Some things may seem relatively innocuous, like messy spaces in our homes. How many of you have gone through a cleaning spree? Some spring cleaning on steroids. I keep hearing about people who have finally gotten around to organizing their kitchen cupboards or their home offices. They just can't put up with the mess anymore. At least one person on the worship team says they've become much neater than before. That's a good thing. Other people have noticed that their thresholds for work have shifted. They are not as willing to work all hours of the day and night, to be constantly at the beck and call of work responsibilities. They are starting to listen to the voice that tells them to get up and take a break, go outside and take a walk, or simply take a breath. Or the voice that says it's time to stop working. No more taking your work home with you when you're already working from home. And once they go back to working away from home, they may be better at hearing that voice and setting that limit too. And then there's the thresholds we have with those with whom we live. When we go off to our jobs or school every morning, it's much easier to live with one another. When we are together 24/7, though, it can be a different story. I'd love to think that we are all having quality family time, that we're getting to know each other better and more deeply. But if you are like me, then you've hit your threshold at least once. With both of us working from home, my husband and I have to negotiate space. One of us works in the living room while the other goes into another room and closes the door. It helps to have a threshold between us to give us the space we need. But even so, our tempers can get short and we can snap at each other. And I cannot imagine what it's like for those of you who are sharing your living space with more than a partner, those of you who are working from home with children needing help with schoolwork or adolescents or young adults needing independence and space. You have my respect and admiration and sympathy. And as our opening words acknowledge, we all have limitations. We often do fall short of our expectations for ourselves and for each other. And because we are not always as patient or wise as we'd like to be, it can be helpful to find and define our personal thresholds, our boundaries. So as Ellen and I prepared for today, we looked for someone wiser than we to give us some ideas about how that might work. We both admire the work of Brené Brown, and we're not disappointed with what she had to offer. Ellen, can you share her words?
Happy to do so. Today's reading is from Brené Brown's book, Rising Strong. She writes, "Very early on in my work, I discovered that the most compassionate people I interviewed also have the most well-defined and well-respected boundaries. This surprised me at the time, but now I get it. They assume that other people are doing the best they can. But they also ask for what they need, and they don't put up with a lot of crap. I lived the opposite way. I assumed that people were not doing their best, so I judged them and constantly fought being disappointed, which was easier, somehow, than setting boundaries. Boundaries are hard when you want to be liked and when you are a pleaser, hell-bent on being easy, fun, and flexible. Compassionate people ask for what they need. They say no when they need to, and when they say yes, they mean it. They're compassionate because their boundaries keep them out of resentment. Later in the same book, she goes on to write, "When we combine the courage to make clear what works for us and what doesn't, with the compassion to assume people are doing their best, our lives change. Yes, there will always be people who violate our boundaries, and this will require that we continue to hold those people accountable. But when we are living in our integrity, we are strengthened by the self-respect that comes from the honoring of our boundaries, rather than being flattened by disappointment and resentment."
The idea of setting boundaries, defining personal thresholds, can seem selfish, especially to people who grew up thinking about other people's needs more than their own, who were encouraged to make other people happy, to go along, to get along. As Brown puts it, boundaries are hard when you want to be liked and when you are a pleaser hell-bent on being easy, fun, and flexible. So I really appreciate her analysis that people who let others know what they need, what is okay for them, are more compassionate. The example she gives in the book is saying yes to something she didn't really want to, and then resenting people when they didn't express enough appreciation for what was for her a sacrifice. It's hard to be compassionate when you're feeling resentful. That's one of the reasons I often say no is as sacred as yes. When I ask someone to do something like serve on a committee, if you say yes out of a sense of obligation, and not because you really feel called to or feel ready for a challenge, then you're more likely to be resentful. And really, can we blame other people for not meeting our expectations when we haven't told them what they are? But we often do, assuming that they are not doing their best, because if they were, they would meet our needs, even if they don't really know what they are. Ellen and I listened to a great interview where Brené Brown said something like, "I used to think people were intentionally pissing me off." I also appreciate Brown's acknowledgement that it takes courage to make clear what works for us. Letting people know what our boundaries are can feel like a risk. What if they're put off or offended? What if it makes them feel bad? The best example I can think of from my own life was the time when I wrote to my parents before an upcoming visit, asking them not to mention my weight. I told them that I knew that it came from a place of concern and of love, but that I already knew that I was overweight, and it only made me feel bad. It was a simple request, but it took a lot of courage to ask for what I needed, to set up a boundary. But they respected that boundary, which made our visit and our relationship much better. Can you think of a boundary that you'd like to share with someone? Letting them know what you need? Something that feels a little difficult to say out loud. In this time of quarantine, when we're more likely to get to that point of up with this, I will not put, it's important to explore and define our personal thresholds before they get crossed and let people know what they are. It could be as simple as saying, I cannot concentrate on my work with the music so loud. I've never said that. Or, I just need some time for myself today. I read of a friend's negotiations with her grown daughters. She was teaching her last class of the semester. One of her daughters had an important test and the other one had a difficult meeting. So they let each other know when they needed time alone or the house to be quiet. It was an impressive case of mutual boundary setting. I think too of the boundaries we'll need to be setting as we phase out of quarantine and begin to spend more time with others. It will be vital for us to ask the person who is standing too near to take a step back or to put on their mask or to say, no, I'm not going out. Just because someone says it's time to reopen the country doesn't mean that we're ready or that we'll all be ready at the same time. I was proud of my colleague in Fort Worth, Texas, who joined with her colleagues in saying that they were not going to open their churches until it was safe for their congregations. The governor's recent announcement that Virginia will be moving into phase one means that the UUC board will be discussing when and how we might begin in-person gatherings safely. So, what personal thresholds have you all been recognizing or exploring in these past few weeks? In a moment, we'll move to breakout rooms so that you can share some of your stories. Have you found yourself at the up with this, I will not put place? Have your thresholds shifted? Which ones? Or think of a time when you've had the courage to define your boundaries and share them with the ones who needed to know. Or perhaps you're working up the courage to let someone know your threshold. Think about it for a minute. What would you like to share? As always, you get to decide. So I'll move us into breakout rooms of about 3 to 4 people, and we'll spend maybe 5 minutes sharing how thresholds are coming up in our lives, what thresholds we'd like to define. So I hope you all had had fun talking to each other. I have to say, in this past week, I've actually gotten to see a few people face to face, and I miss seeing your faces. I have a feeling we're going to get used to seeing our faces with masks. But I also hope that sharing your stories and reflections sparked some ideas for what personal thresholds you'd like to explore in the weeks ahead. What boundaries you'd like to set. And I hope that hearing other people's stories has given you some courage. And if we were in the sanctuary together, I'd ask if anyone had an aha moment that they'd like to share, but I'm not sure how that would go over on Zoom. But we can continue sharing during the coffee hour after the service. But in addition to listening to each other, remember to listen to that voice, still and small, that tells you what is deeply true for you. If the busyness and chatter in your life has been quieted, perhaps you can hear it more easily. If your life is still full of busyness and chatter, make the time and space to listen. And know that defining and sharing your thresholds, your expectations, can lead to less resentment and more compassion. It can help us all do better at becoming our best selves. I wish all of you the very best Mother's Day. Whether you are mothering someone, have been mothered, or are seeking some way to nurture your soul, lift up your voice. Let people know what you need. They can't meet your expectations if they don't know what they are.